This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
All right. Good morning, everybody. As you can tell by my voice, this is not Robbie Dillmore. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Kingdom Pursuits. My name, in fact, is Danny Trogdon. Normally, I'm on the other side of the mic in the production room, but today I have the honor of hosting. Robbie's out of town, so I sure appreciate that. I think we have a very interesting show for you today. We have a couple of guests that will be on the phone with us today. Our first guest is going to be Bethany Marshall. She is the author of Pickles and Prayer. It's illustrated by Sarah Vogel. And I can't say pickles. I can only say perkles. So it's perkles in prayer, which I think makes a great combination because I love me some perkles and love to pray. And the book actually, I think, is helps to teach children the value and the power of prayer. And that's an important thing because I think if you get a child to start praying early and learning that prayer works, prayer has value, and prayer has power, they'll never stray from it. I believe that. And we also will have Tyler Ellis. Tyler did a TED Talk recently that was originally entitled Jesus is Not a Role Model, but I think they changed the title of that, and I can't see it right off the top of my head, but I know Tyler will share that with us. But it was a religious TED Talk, which is kind of a rare thing, and so Tyler's going to talk about that, and I've got some questions for him as well. But before we get started, we have a tradition here of doing some riddles. And that's what Robbie calls them, riddles. I call them puns because they're kind of punny. Get it? All righty then. And so let me go over a couple. I think these are kind of cute. So the first one is, what is a dentist's favorite hymn? And the answer is, crown him with many crowns. Get it? Crown him with many crowns. You would have got some extra points if you had came up with holy, holy, holy. I like that. Okay, what's a salesman's favorite scripture passage? Anyone? The Great Commission. Yeah, I bet. The Great Commission. Oh, thanks for that. That actually deserved crickets. All right, here's another one. I like this one here. What kind of man was Boaz before he married? What kind of man was Boaz before he married? He was ruthless. Ruthless. Get it? Ruthless. He didn't have a roof. Okie dokie. Many of you didn't know that they played baseball in the Bible. So where was the first baseball game in the Bible? It was in the big inning. Beginning. Big inning. Okay, look, I'm just amusing myself at this point, but that's okay. Eve stole first, Adam stole second, Cain struck out Abel, and the giants and the angels were rained out. Uh-huh, how about that? Little laughter over there? No? Okay. why did the hawk sit on the church's steeple because it was a bird of prey. A bird of... There we go. All right. Which servant of God was the worst lawbreaker in the Bible? Which servant of God was the worst lawbreaker? It was Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. Get it? Broke all 10 through the thing. No? Boo? Okay, I deserve that. Okay, I've got two more. So you're going to have to sit through it. Who was the greatest? People have asked me, and I've asked many times, does God have a sense of humor? I think he does, because he invented senses of humor, right? So who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? It had to be Samson, because he brought the house down. Okie dokie. All right. Okay, here is the actual riddle that you can call in and win. And if you get it right, you're going to win two tickets to the Wake Forest game this Tuesday, February 11th, this Tuesday. Wake's playing North Carolina. So that's going to be a really good game to go to. So I got two tickets for the right answer. So here's the question. Who's the patron saint of poverty? Who's the patron saint of poverty? So call in to get the answer. If you have the answer, call in at, it's 866-34-TRUTH. 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, there it is. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to read it again. Who's the patron saint of poverty? So if you have the answer, give us a call. We'll get you those tickets out to you. It's going to be fun. Okay, well, that's all of that. I enjoyed that. So, look, let's go to, we've got a guest, Bethany Marshall. She is the author, like I said, of Pickles and Prayer. I'll say it right. Let's see here. Where are you at? We've got Bethany Marshall on the line, author of Pickles and Prayer, illustrated by Sarah Vogel. Hey, Bethany, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I sure appreciate you being a guest today.
Oh, thank you. I am super excited.
Well, I was really eager to talk to you about this because, first of all, I love me some Perkles. Do a lot of people call them Perkles, or is that a Southern thing?
That might be a Southern thing.
Okay. Pickles and Prayer. So, tell us a little bit about yourself and then about your book.
All right. Well, I am Bethany Marshall, and I live in Altoona, Pennsylvania, with my husband, Micah, and my bouncy boxer dog, Timber. My husband does full-time youth ministry here in the area, and I work full-time. I work with children in the behavioral health field. And Pickles and Prayer was something that God birthed in me a little over 2 years ago. I wrote it 2 years ago, and it's just been a process and a journey of it coming to fruition. So I'm super excited about this book, and I'm just really thrilled to see it here and in the hands of children.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about what it has, and I think it's helping to teach children the value and power of prayer, right?
Yes. So to teach kids that, you know, prayer is simple, but it's so powerful. And how when we give our prayers and requests to the Lord, that He truly hears them.
Well, I took us right up to a break, Bethany, but I definitely want to talk about this in depth and get your thoughts on it, and also take some phone calls with some possible questions for you, okay? So stick around.
Great.
We'll be right back. Kingdom Pursuits.
Okay.
Robbie Dillmore here, and the Truth Network podcasts have helped make MyPillow the company it is today. And now Mike Lindell, who, by the way, I've met and is a great guy, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to our listeners. For the first time, you can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Who never thought that my dream job would be selling MyPillows? Maybe you're getting tired of these sleeping jokes, but you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, the body pillow is regularly $89.99, but with a promo code GETTRUTH, it's only $29.99. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the body pillow, for only $29.99. Enter promo code GETTRUTH or call 800-942-9613 for these great radio specials.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits. I'm Danny Trogdon, and I'm sitting in for Robbie today. And you can join the conversation now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And you can also answer the riddle, which was real quickly, who's the patron saint of poverty? So call up if you have that answer as well. We're talking with Bethany Marshall on the line right now. She's calling from, in Pennsylvania. And she's the author of Pickles and Prayer. Bethany, welcome back to the show. Just pick up where you left off. You were talking about a little bit about yourself and about the book some things that are important with dealing with children. My children are grown. I have grandchildren, though, and I've had my daughters have asked me a couple times advice on how to, you know, what's the best way to approach a child, you know, a 7, 6, 7, 8-year-old child, and talk to them about Jesus and talk to them about prayer. And I'd love to pick your brain about that a little bit.
Yeah, prayer is just something that you can teach a kid in the most simplest way of just showing them through your prayer life, sitting down and writing down your requests and giving them to God and praying over each and every single one. And in my book, it talks about how prayer is like a seed. So it's almost like when you have your prayer request, it's like a seed and you plant it down and you give it to God and you allow God to do what only He can do in that prayer. Mm. And so in the book, then it shows how the cucumber plant grows and how our prayers go through a process of sometimes waiting and watching to see how God's going to answer that prayer. So it really has the imagery and also the message of sometimes prayers get answered right away, and then there's prayers that have a waiting season. So it's to encourage a child not to give up in their prayer as well.
Sure. Do you find it sometimes difficult to help children understand that prayer is answered in God's timing? And because even adults I've run into that expect to pray today and have their answer mm-hmm. before they go to bed.
Right, right. And I think the Bible references that so well when it says, have faith like a child. I think that we can learn with children and adults, they can learn from each other. But children have such a great capacity to allow their faith just to grow and to truly trust the Lord in that pure faith that they have. So I think that as we watch them pray and they watch us pray, there can just be such a lesson to be learned that sometimes children, you know, say, let's pray, and that will prompt an adult to pray or their parent to pray, or sometimes the parent can say, let's pray for this, and it's just a two-way parallel opportunity to show and model this. I think the Bible says it perfectly. You know, we have faith like a child. I think children are so willing to, you know, jump in head first and say, let's pray.
Yeah, and children are much quicker to trust as well because, you know, once you become an adult, you become cynical and you learn that you really can't trust much of anything in this world. But children are trusting, so it seems like a great opportunity to teach them about trusting God and trusting God's timing in answers to prayer. And sometimes, you know, when prayers don't seem to be answered because you don't, you know, you're not getting what you want from it. And it seems like it would be even easier to teach a child about prayer and about trust.
Absolutely.
It also says that there is a pickle recipe in here, and I love me some pickles, but I
think it's a dill pickle recipe.
Yeah.
So growing up, I love pickles, and my mom would make me homemade pickles. My dad would grow cucumbers in the garden, and then my mom would, you know, slice them up and put them in a jar, and they were my favorite thing. They still are my favorite thing to eat.
Yeah, I love pickles. Bethany, we've got a couple of callers that that want to answer the riddle. I'm going to leave you on the line so that you can chime in, too. So let's see here.
All right.
Let me go to Camille in North Carolina. Camille, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hey.
My name is Camille.
Hey, Camille.
And I think the answer to the riddle is Francis of, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but the spelling is A-S-S-I-S-I.
Well, that's a great guess. That's not the answer I'm looking for. I think, the answer is kind of cute and funny, but I think it still is right. But no, that's a miss. But I tell you what, we're still, you didn't win the tickets, but we'll send you out a book anyway. How about that?
Thank you. That's very nice.
Yeah, we'll do that for you. Thanks for calling in, Camille.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, we're going to go to James and Carrie. Hey, James, you're on the air. Hold on, sorry. Hey, James, you're on the air. Now you're on the air. I was teasing you. You weren't on the air before. Okay. You got an answer to who's the patron saint of poverty?
Saint Francis of Assisi.
Again, that was a good guess, but not correct. Not correct.
Who is it?
Well, I can't tell you yet. We got to still get callers. If I don't get a right answer, then I'll tell everybody what it is. But I want to wait to see if I get an answer so I can get these tickets given away. But look, I'm still going to send you out a book. Will that be okay?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, look, James, I'm going to put you on hold. And Jasper will get some information from you, and we'll get a book out to you, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thanks, man. Okay, Bethany, you still there?
I'm here, yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to get an answer to this riddle. I probably won't get one. I would never come up with it, but it's kind of...
Well, I hope you get the right one.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of funny.
I love a good joke.
Yeah, I do too. Did you like the other puns I read?
I did.
They were kind of corny.
I love to laugh too. So
the last two,
puns are really funny.
yeah. So, as far as helping children, does the book go into detail about other areas of faith? You know, with children and teaching them, you know, just how to walk through their life and how to focus on God when they're confused or upset or other things like that?
I think the book opens up many doors for that, just for conversation after reading the book. The book is very simple. It has a rhythmic read to it with a few sentences on each page, but I also included a pickle prayer in it where the children and their parents can read it and pray together at the end of the story.
Oh, okay.
So it just, it really focuses on just the process of prayer, watching the plant grow and watching our prayers as we give them to the Lord. And then it kind of concludes the book just with the pickle in the jar and then with the prayer at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you, I love plants. I am a plant nut, and I love live plants. But, you know, I live in an area where I don't get a lot. I have oak trees all around my house, so I don't get a lot of direct sunlight. So the only two things that I can grow are tomatoes and cucumbers.
Okay.
And so, but I like to give plants as gifts, too, because, you know, I tell them, here's a gift of life. But, you know, and I've helped my grandchildren learn how fun it can be to start the process of, like you said, like putting a seed in the ground, watering it, watching it grow, and then equating that to how God interacts in our lives.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it sure is. And grandchildren are so receptive, especially to their papas, which I'm a papa. So they listen, you know, grandkids will listen to their papas quicker than they'll listen to their daddies and mommies a lot of times.
Yes, you are loved.
Yeah, right. Well, that's awesome, Bethany.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna get this book because I'd like to sit down and read this with my grandchildren. And
thank you.
Yeah, and just show them all the things that that are valuable in the whole process.
Yeah,
it's a great picture that you've painted there with that.
Thank you.
Well, look, Bethany, I sure appreciate you being on with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. I would love for you to call back another time or let us have you on the show another time.
All right, great. I thank you so much for this opportunity, and let me know how you like the book after you order it.
I sure will, yeah. Thanks, Bethany.
All right, thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, that took us right up to our second break. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Tyler Ellis about his TED Talk. That's going to be fascinating. So stick around, everyone. You're listening to Kingdom Pursuits. Kingdom Pursuits. I'm Danny Trogdon. I'm sitting in for Robbie today. And you can join the conversation now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. So we are talking now with Tyler Ellis. Tyler recently did a TED Talk on religion, which I think is fascinating. And also, I happen to know that that doesn't happen very often. And Tyler, thanks for being a part of the show today.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Danny.
Yes, sir. First off, won't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your career?
Sure. So, yes, I was a college minister for almost 15 years. And this last year, I came on staff with a nonprofit called Let's Start Talking, which is based in Fort Worth, Texas. And this year, also same age as me, we LST became 40 years old. And so for 40 years, we've been sending teams from churches who want to go on short-term mission trips. It could be 2 weeks, it could be 6 weeks. But the unique thing about it is the local churches overseas, the missionaries that work with them, if they have them, they advertise before these teams arrive, and they have posters all around town that say free English conversations with you know, Americans, and we use the Bible as the topic of conversation. We read from the book of Luke, and so people who are wanting to improve their English are just lining up in droves, you know, to make a new friend, to improve their English, and then it gives Christians a chance to meet a physical need, you might say, but also a spiritual need as people read the stories of Jesus. Mm. So about 20 years in to LSP, we also started what we call Friend Speak, and that's what my position on staff focuses on. And that's when we actually used this same approach here in the United States, reaching out to refugees and international students to read the Bible with them, help them improve their English. And so it's a fantastic way to get the average Christian doing outreach, you know, because the Bible does say we should be a light to the nations, and here we have these nations coming to us, many of them, probably, let's say there's a million international students, and half of them are coming from places that, we probably couldn't go if we wanted to because of persecution or laws. So it's a great opportunity, and we're hoping it'll really catch on more.
Yeah, I tell you, Christians in our country, I think a lot of times are not aware of how difficult it is to be a Christian in other countries.
And, yes,
you know,
right.
Because it's almost taken for granted that, you know, you can be a Christian, you can worship Satan, you can do anything you want as far as religion in this country without, you know, worrying about the type of persecution that you get in other countries. And a lot of countries, they put you to death for being a Christian. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, it's fascinating to me that you were able to do a religious oriented TED talk. How did you get the opportunity for that?
Yeah, well, let me just say to wrap up the whole Let's Start Talking thing. If there are people out there listening who are interested, you can go to lst.org and you can find more about that. But yeah, so the TEDx talk. So the TED Talks, if I'm not mistaken, are annual events that you speakers come by invitation only. And then there's what's called TEDx Talk, and the X stands for independent. And you don't have to be invited to be a TEDx speaker. You just have to apply. And so those events are happening probably every day of the year, all around the world, in many, many countries. And so I got in touch with this company in California that helps potential TED speakers to apply and to work on their idea. And originally the company turned me down. They said, yeah, I don't think we can work with you because of the nature of your talk. And so, man, I was praying that they'd change their mind, and they did. And so I probably turned in about 40 applications. The Facebook group that I'm part of that is connected with that company, there's some speakers in there that they're turning in like 100 applications before they get one. And it takes them, you know, a year or so, maybe two. So it's a challenging thing to be accepted. And there's interviews and there's auditions sometimes and screening. You got to make promo videos. And so it's not easy. So I felt so blessed. Yeah, I prayed so much because I had this message on my heart that came from all those years in campus ministry. And finally, this event in Marshall, Texas, of all places. I mean, I had applied in Ireland, Switzerland, Australia, Germany, and New York City. And lo and behold, the one that invites me to speak is 2 hours from my house.
Oh, nice.
At Wiley College. And Wiley College is a historically black college that was founded just within the decade after the Civil War. It's a Methodist school that still holds to their Christian values. And so things just really aligned well. And I gave that talk just last October. So.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know a common thread throughout your talk follows the story of your experiences interviewing 50 people of different beliefs and backgrounds than your own. How did you get the idea to interview 50 different people like that?
Well, yeah, you know, when you're in ministry, you're doing evangelism, I kind of view every attempt at making friends with people who are not Christian. I view it as an experiment. You know, and we'll try different things, game nights and movie nights and Bible studies. And so one day I was sitting around with some of my college students, and they were talking about how they just kind of never share their faith with anybody. And I said, hey, take out your phone and scroll through it, and let's count how many people are in your contacts who aren't Christian. So they got their phones out, they're scrolling down, and they could hardly come up with a few names. Everybody they knew, everybody they hung out with was Christian. We said, we've got to do something about this. And so we said, let's do a survey. Let's go out on campus. Let's come up with some questions, get our little clipboard, and ask people for a few minutes. And so it was about four of us went out on campus, did it for about an hour. I think we met with four people, you know, that actually took the survey. So, you know, four in 1 hour. But amazingly, two of those four people said, you know, I think I'd be interested in meeting up and talking about this. So we reconvened us four guys, and we talked about it. We debriefed, you know, how'd you like that experience? And we pretty much all agreed that we did not enjoy it. Because it's just awkward.
Yeah.
It's awkward to go out on campus. It's kind of like old school door knocking, you know? You're interrupting people, and it's a little intrusive. And so we said, well, how can we make this less awkward? And so kind of gave me the idea to get on to the... Oh, okay, I'll pick up that story after.
Yeah, let's... we're right into a break.
You bet.
Definitely pick up on that when we come back, all right?
You bet.
Okay, you're listening to Kingdom Pursuits. We'll be right back with Tyler Ellis. So stick around, everyone. All right. We're back with Kingdom Pursuits. I'm your host, Danny. I'm sitting in for Robbie today, and we're talking with Tyler Ellis, and he was telling us a little bit about his TEDx talk. I kept calling it a TED talk, but I didn't understand the difference that X was independent. Yeah, so that's good information.
Yeah, those TED and TEDx talks are still under the same umbrella. They all get shared on TED YouTube channel that has now 23 million subscribers. And so it's a great platform. But yeah, Danny, I was telling the story about how this idea came about to interview 50 people.
Yeah.
And so I went from those surveys on campus to trying to figure out how to just make this more fun and natural and less awkward. And so I thought, hey, what are some of my favorite things? And I came up with coffee. I came up with questions and artwork. So I drink coffee a lot. I'm not really a connoisseur, but, you know, I love the taste of coffee. I don't love the aftertaste of coffee. Yeah, but
right. Or the breath anyway. That comes from drinking coffee.
No. Yeah, my daughter is 5. She says, it started off good, but it had a bad ending.
Right, yeah.
I like coffee, and so I got onto the school website and went to the student organization page where it lists the student organizations on your campus the president and vice president of each club, and it gave them their email. So I thought, hey, I'm just going to email these influential students on campus, invite them out for coffee. And, man, I think probably 1 out of 10 emails came back with a yes. And so the next favorite thing was questions. You know, Jesus, man, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, he asked questions all the time. Yeah. He would respond to questions with questions.
Right,
it gets people thinking. It makes people articulate where they're coming from, sometimes for the first time. Mm. And, man, it's great to just sit back and listen to what people think and why they think it. And then, of course, the artwork. So what I did was I had them sign a media consent form giving me permission to, you know, type up this interview and share it on a blog that I had at the time. And then I took their picture and I'd go home and I would draw it using one continuous line, which was kind of something I got into back in high school when I came across a Picasso book.
Oh, wow.
And you don't lift your pen from the page. Hmm. And it's kind of fun. And so I would draw the picture, then I'd share that. And it took about 2 years to conduct 50 interviews.
Wow.
And so I had, again, the presidents of clubs like Engineers Without Borders, the Vegetarian Club, the drama club called Rubber Chicken, and LGBT club called Haven. Hmm. And then I also got to interview a bunch of professors, a Muslim professor, a Mormon professor. One day I was trying to meet someone at Panera, and they never showed up. And there was a homeless man outside. And I was like, you know, I'm here. What the heck? So I went out there, and I said, hey, can I buy you breakfast and interview you? And he's like, okay. And so he did one of my interviews, and later on, some of my students got money together and bought him a bicycle. So that was that was really cool. You know, and that's an example. In my TEDx talk, I talk about what I call unexpected adventures and discoveries. And I share a few stories about how these 50 people weren't just people that, they served a purpose for me and then I never saw them again, but half of them actually asked to meet up again. Hmm. And some of them wanted to interview me too. But there's a lot of neat stories of how, kind of like that bicycle, you know.
Yeah.
Friendships were born and we had some neat experiences. There was a girl who was going to commit suicide and she called me at 3 a.m. And, you know, she's married and she has children. And so it was an amazing, surprising, unexpected adventure.
Wow. And, you know, and this unfortunately is a shorter segment. I got like 2 minutes. I wanted to ask you a question. You said despite such the diversity of the people that you interviewed, you discovered an overwhelming census about the afterlife that they expressed, and you summarized it by the statement, acceptance in heaven depends on performance on earth. And, you know, I know that's true, and I'm wondering why so many people around the world believe that, and why so many Christians are of the mindset that acceptance in heaven depends on your earthly works. And so I'm wondering why are non-Christians and especially Christians missing out on the Jesus part of that equation?
Yeah. So, Danny, you're saying that there's about a minute or so left in this segment?
Yeah.
Are we coming back, though?
No, that's it. But I've got a minute here if you can quickly just...
Sure.
I don't...
Yeah. Well, let me just say, people can find this TED Talk at btylerellis.com.
Okay.
And in the TED Talk, that answer comes out of kind of how, you know, people view Jesus as a role model. And instead of the Messiah.
Right. Hey, Tyler, I'm terrible with time. I'm running out of time, man. I sure appreciate you being on. I'd love for you to be back on. I've got 1,000 questions for you. But anyway, thanks for being part of the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay tuned next week. We'll see you.